The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, after sitting this way, for the moment, I don't feel like saying too much. But I'm sure in a minute or so, or a few seconds, I will. And I suppose that little bit how I'm feeling is instructive for these times that we're in. That a period of meditation where I was centered on my body, that my usual thinking mind got quiet. And now there's a different perspective of life and different way of being present. And I think the shift for meditators to have first-hand experience of the shift from being preoccupied in our thoughts, agitated in our thoughts, we're being led around by the way our thoughts are anxious or concerned or wanting things or not wanting things. And you know, thoughts can be quite relaxed and easygoing, and they appear a dime a dozen, and they're kind of light and soft. But they can also come with a lot of emotional involvement. They're fueled by our emotions of all kinds. They can come along with a sense of importance, a sense of alarm, a sense of somehow that the picture we're painting in our mind, the imagery or the ideas in which stories in which the thoughts are circulating in, that those are true or important, or those are the stories, the images by which we are going to understand our life and understand our relationship to our life. And this involvement with our thoughts and the kind of even the subconscious mental imagery of what we're thinking about, or the story, the context for we think we're in, the thoughts, for example, can, you know, have this image of apocalypse coming, image of a virus that's coming, you know, rolling through the city streets like a big tidal wave or something. I mean, not that people exactly those image, but there can be kind of an emotional kind of imagery or sense or feeling that's the background context for the thoughts that we have. And so thoughts then would be alarmed and worried and thinking about planning and what's important. And there's a whole different shift that can happen when we do something like meditate, or we go for a walk in nature or in a park, or we sit and have a nice time drinking tea with a friend and chatting nicely about things. That somehow settles the anxious mind, settles the preoccupied mind, but more important than that, it settles the background image, the background story, the background belief, the background orientation to that it's important to be involved in planning or remembering or figuring things out or building up a sense of self or whatever these thoughts that we're spinning in and swirling in. So this whole background kind of context for them is an activity of the mind. It's not like inherent in the nature of reality. And they come and go, and they get evoked in certain situations more than in others. One of the things that really promotes this kind of background busyness of the mind and activity of the mind is being busy. If the more we do, the more we're trying to rush around and do more and more things, the more the kind of subconscious stuff begins to percolate up, or the traces of our anxiety, concerns with each of the different things we're thinking about, those traces remain somehow in our psyche, in our mind, in our hearts. So we don't just kind of, you know, stop thinking about something. But we're still kind of living in the traces that are left over from how we thought and the background kind of stories that were kind of created kind of an influence on our body or mind or who we are. And so to sit is a radical act. To sit, maybe close your eyes, and with the idea, that, among other things, that this is a time that you don't have to figure anything out. This is a time that you don't have to solve the world's problems. This is not the time that you need to plan ahead and make yourself safe or fix the social problems you have with work or friends or whatever the challenges are. Those are for later. If they're important, we'll address them later. And chances are, if meditation, you can put those aside or at least have the conviction that this is not the time to devote to them. The mind will still bring them up, but if you're convinced that this is not the time for them, then it's a lot easier to let go of them. It's a lot easier to give ourselves a little bit more fully over to the meditation, to mindfulness of breathing, mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of just staying aware and present here in the present moment. And this movement of coming back to the present moment, coming back to waking up here, coming back to the breath, is actually a very powerful movement that should not be underestimated. It's actually more important, the movement to wake up, the movement back to the breathing, the movement to rest in awareness once again in the present moment. That's actually, to redo that over and over again, it's like reps at the gym. You're like repeating, developing a strength, a capacity, a momentum of a familiarity with the whole world of showing up and waking up. And so it's actually a very precious time, this. And it's almost like it doesn't matter how many times your mind wanders off in thought. All that matters is how many times you come back. And not that you make yourself wander off so you can come back, but just celebrate coming back. Enjoy it. Come back in a way that is enjoyable. Come back to the breath in a way that you're not jerking your mind, you're not pouncing back at the breath, you're not berating yourself for the fact that you wandered off. Come back in a way where you actually look forward to coming back. That then, you know, next time you meditate, you can't wait because you get to treat yourself with respect, with care, with kindness, with value, with, you know, some wonderful way. Then yes, your mind will wander off. And then lovingly, kindly, you come back and settle back, come back. And over time, to settle back, to relax, to show up, and to develop some continuity of staying with the breath, staying in the present moment, takes the energy or the fuel away from our agitation, takes the fuel away from our agitated thoughts, our preoccupied thoughts. It takes the fuel away from some of the afflictive emotions that afflict us with challenges and difficulty. It takes the energy away, the fuel away from the way our bodies are held tense, the way the shoulders are held, the stomach held tight. All this takes energy, it takes a certain kind of fuel. And when that fuel of attention keeps going into the practice, and we're no longer doing those other things so much, things begin to relax. The body relaxes, the mind relaxes, the heart relaxes. And to settle here and really feel the fullness, the three-dimensional fullness, the value, the goodness, the benefit of just being here for a few minutes. It doesn't have to be a 45 minutes like we did now. Even a 3-minute meditation, a 2-minute meditation, a 1-minute meditation can make a huge difference in shifting us out of the preoccupied mind, the agitated thinking mind, into a fuller, relaxed presence here and now. And then, with that, we can go into the world. And now, the really important part of meditation, maybe the second half of meditation, your meditation doesn't stop because the bell rings. The meditation doesn't stop because you've gotten up from your meditation. I think it's very valuable to think of that meditation is always twice as long as the time that you actually meditated. And once you get up, that's a second half. So if you sat for 2 minutes, you have two more minutes. If you sat for 45 minutes, the 45 next minutes are actually quite precious and important. It's a time to discover how to enter the world with some appropriate sense of presence, of mindfulness, of attention, of really being present in our experience as we do it, as opposed to rushing off and losing whatever presence and calm we had in meditation. Not that you have to stay calm when you get up, but can you stay centered? Can you stay grounded here and now in this body, in this time? And you'll have to face a lot of things, but if you can stay grounded in those first, the second half of your so-called meditation, that chances are you'll be a wiser person. Chances are you'll see better, you'll understand better, you'll understand yourself better, and you'll have access to deeper places within, deeper understandings, deeper values from which to live and live in your life. So the idea of learning to do that shift from being preoccupied to being centered here, to do that over and over again in meditation and other parts of life, until you learn to get a skill in making that shift. It becomes almost second nature to make that shift. It's not like so, it doesn't become so hard to make it, even if it's just a teeny bit. Okay, here I am. Let's pause for a moment. Let's connect to here and see what's here. Let's be present. And I certainly hope that those of us who are doing meditation, doing mindfulness, that we're doing it for much more than just relaxing and stress reduction, that we're really doing it so the wisest parts of us can be a contribution to the world. So that how we are, wise, calm, perhaps less anxious or non-anxious, or maybe even caring for the others and for the world, has a greater chance to flow from us and engage us and support us as we go into the world. So that how we live is not only for our own well-being and protecting ourselves, but how we live is also to support others and to protect others and to benefit others that we encounter. Now with this COVID-19 virus that's going around, there are a lot of people who are anxious, a lot of people who don't have something like a meditation practice. And so it's even more valuable time for some of us who do to meditate. Maybe you should pick up your meditation, meditate more often than you have been, so that you can be a part of the change. You can be one person that comes up and shows up and is a little bit calmer than the other people, and maybe settles everyone in some ways. Or you're a little bit wiser, or you're more caring for so many people who are going to need care now. Rather than feeling that, you know, it's too hard and you have to protect yourself, it'll do your heart a tremendous amount of good if you think about how can you care for more people now.